NPR.
$2 trillion. That is today's indicator, and what an indicator it is.
Yeah, early this morning, really early, around 1:30 a.m., Senator Mitch McConnell made an announcement on the floor of the Senate.
Well, Madam President, I have an update for the information of all senators and for the information of the American people, and it's good news. At last, we have a deal.
The Senate and the White House had come to an agreement on an economic stimulus and aid package worth roughly $2 trillion.
That money is an effort to offset the economic devastation that's been caused by the coronavirus pandemic, which has forced businesses across the nation to shut their doors and has put millions of people out of work.
A lot of the details are still vague. I mean, a bill of this size would normally take months to pass. But we do know that there are four main parts. First, payments given directly to people.
Second, a massive expansion of unemployment benefits.
Third, a major infusion of cash into the healthcare system and state and local governments.
And fourth, loans to businesses.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, Stimulus Rex. And it really is kind of the king of stimulus. It is the biggest fiscal stimulus package in U.S. history, almost unimaginably big.
And we are going to look at two questions. What's in the stimulus, and will it be enough?
This message comes from NPR sponsor TurboTax. To help people feel more comfortable doing their taxes, TurboTax Live gives you access to experienced CPAs and EAs who can review your return line by line to make sure your taxes are done right.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Chobani Oat, made to taste just like milk. It's creamy, frothy, and great with coffee and cookies, but without the dairy, because it's not milk, it's almost milk. New Chobani Oat.
Jessica Rubicek runs a play space for kids as well as an event space in Chicago. When coronavirus first arrived in her city, she thought she'd shut down for a week or so just to be extra safe. And then she says she started to realize that it was not going to be just a week or so.
The sentiment of everyone around me seemed to change dramatically from really living our normal lives to starting to hunker down and be very careful about socializing, implement social distancing, even questioning trips to the grocery store. And I think that's when it dawned on me that this was going to be a much bigger deal than I had initially anticipated.
Jessica realized that she was going to have to close indefinitely. She has 8 employees, and last week she had to lay off every single one of them. She started working with credit card companies to try to delay some payments, and she says she is terrified right now.
I need rent abatement. I need holds on loan repayments and credit card obligations, and I need some way to take care of my employees.
Jason Furman is an economist at Harvard University. He was also an economist in the Obama White House when the 2009 stimulus was passed. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act totaled more than $830 billion.
And at the time, that amount of money was mind-blowing. It was hugely controversial. It was so big. As for what Jason says he learned from that experience.
The one simple answer as to how to do stimulus based on that experience is that there's no one simple answer to how to do stimulus.
The first rule of stimulus, there are no rules for stimulus. Jason says every crisis is different, and the money should go where it's most needed. In the case of the coronavirus pandemic, he says, money needs to go to people who've lost their jobs and business owners, like Jessica Rubicek.
Jason has seen a near-final copy of the bill, and he says there are things he disagrees with, but for the most part, he's a fan.
It's very large and very fast, which I think is good.
So, part one of Stimulus Rex, direct payments to people. Many Americans will get payments of around $1,200 with an extra $500 per child.
Jason says this part of the stimulus is incredibly important, both for individuals right now, but also for the overall economy later on.
The idea of the payments is in the short run to provide social insurance for people. It's to enable people to keep the lights on if, you know, their job ends. And then after we're done with the extreme suppression phase of dealing with the pandemic, the payments will help put people's balance sheets in better shape so they can spend more and fuel faster economic growth to come out of this period.
And Jason says that is where the speed of this bill is so crucial. Because even after a bill gets passed, there is a significant lag between that happening and people actually getting the money.
Anything you do takes time. People may not see money from it for a month or two. And so the faster we do it, the better.
So that's part one of Stimulus Rex, getting money directly to people. Part two is a massive expansion of unemployment benefits. Unemployment payouts will reportedly be extended by more than 3 months, and the payout themselves would also increase, again, reportedly by as much as $600 a week.
And Jason says that is critical. Millions of people have lost their jobs in the last couple of weeks, and many of them were living paycheck to paycheck. Also, finding a job right now can be really difficult. People need that money to live.
Part three of Stimulus Rex is a giant injection of cash into the healthcare system and to state and local governments. The $300 billion is meant to help healthcare providers and state and local governments handle the strain that the pandemic has put on their systems.
So that's part three. Part four of the stimulus, help for businesses. Now, this help basically comes in two categories. First, help for big businesses. This takes the form of a $500 billion fund that will help the central bank support lending to big companies and just keep money flowing throughout the economy.
And then there are the small businesses, a lot of which operate on very thin margins. Many of them have been just completely decimated by coronavirus. Congress is reportedly approving around $350 billion in loans for these small businesses.
For businesses that continue to pay workers throughout the crisis, the loans would be forgiven entirely. Jason says investing in small businesses right now and helping them keep their doors open and keep their workers on is a crucial investment in the future of the economy.
The economy can fall apart more easily than the economy can come back together. If a lot of businesses go bankrupt, lay people off, they can't go unbankrupt and easily rehire people. That takes time. And so loans or even grants to small businesses are meant to buy time for those businesses so that as many of them as possible are intact when we get to the other end of the health crisis.
Jason says this aid is a great start, but it might not be enough. He says another bill like this might need to be passed in the future when we know more about the damage that the coronavirus pandemic has caused.
Meanwhile, Jessica Rubicek says she's not sure if her business will get any help. She's hopeful that the government is getting money to businesses like hers, but it has to happen fast. Jessica says she can hang on for now, but if she doesn't get money within the next couple of months, she will lose her businesses.
My biggest fear is that I will lose both of my businesses, which are not only my livelihood, but the livelihood of all of my team members. I employ single mothers, people who don't have any other source of income, and that terrifies me and devastates me. And I encourage them to file for unemployment immediately and just kept reassuring them that we're a team and this is the best team that I have ever had across both businesses, and that the very moment that I could start operating again, that I would be hiring them back. But it was a very painful and scary decision.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan and Brittany Cronin. It was fact-checked by Camille Peterson, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR. If you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily, with new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.